Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/FRE.
Hi, this is Lisa Michaels, author of Natural Rhythms, and you're listening to David Wood on the 600 Second Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, top of the morning to you, and welcome to the 600 Second Kick-Ass Life Show. And that noise in the background is Jen just decided to eat a chocolate as I started to record and make a whole lot of noise on the plate.
I can't sit in front of chocolate and not eat it.
What is going on over here? This little show is designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a boot in the body. Mm-hmm. Now, my voice is gone because I've just done a number of keynotes all in a row. And I've shot my voice. But here we go. I'm at the eWoman Network conference, so I'm going to do fun facts about women. Now, no one said these are true. I just found them on the internet. An average woman eats about 2 to 3 kilos of lipstick in her lifetime.
What about lip gloss?
What about a non-average woman? What about a super average woman? Do they eat more? Women blink about 2 times more often than men. Oh, that's interesting.
That's to attract our men.
Is that what it is?
Batting our eyelashes.
A little blinky blink.
Yeah.
A woman will trust more easily someone who hugs her for about 15 seconds.
Oh, so it's supposed to count now.
Yeah, but does that mean if I hugged her for 30, she wouldn't like me more, or if I hugged her for less? Maybe it's one of those, like, flyboy huggings, you know, where you do that sort of... You know those people, there's some of you out there that do this. When people go to hug you, you turn to the side and you hip-check them. I don't like those kind of hugs. Anyway, 80% of women's wrinkles are caused by excessive sunlight.
Yes.
Wow.
Sun exposure.
You should work in a mine. The first computer programmer in the world was a woman. Her name was Ada Lovelace.
Ada Lovelace.
Ada Lovelace. And according to researchers, average women spend about 120 hours a year looking at herself in the mirror.
Oh.
Which is approximately 5 days a year looking. Wow. Who believed that? And while turning to call, a woman usually turns her head while a man has to turn his body. It's because they're so much more flexible, that's why. And while making love, a woman worries if she looks pretty.
Yes.
Oh,
I don't.
No.
I know you know I'm pretty.
You're so pretty. All right. Anyway, a woman prefers that her man reads her desires in her eyes as opposed to in a diary, I suppose. Well, hi, everyone. Excuse my voice. We're here. Jen's coughing. She's eating chocolate. There's all this noise in the background. But we are at the eWoman Network. It's my first time here. So I did a keynote today on the main stage.
You were amazing.
And then I did a 2-hour breakout session, which was pretty awesome. And it was
packed room.
Standing room only. You should take some photographs.
I did.
Did you?
Yep. They're on Facebook.
People were running... to other rooms and stealing chairs. I felt quite embarrassed.
Well, you didn't find out till after, so that's okay.
All right.
All right, shall we start with some questions?
Let's do some questions, shall we?
First question's from Suzanne Alvarado. She asks, is there a specific topic? Oh, sorry. Would love to hear your thoughts on how introverts can start thinking about building more social connections or making friends outside their daily circles.
Well, I mean, I think that it's interesting to think, you know, an introvert. What is an introvert? And I mean, so it's somebody that's grown up to believe they're quiet or they're shy. And I believe those muscles, if you're going to make a lot of noise,
excuse me.
You're just going to be like
I'm
Mrs.
So
Noisy
sorry.
McGee. Wow. So why don't we just, we should just turn the TV on or something like that. Let's make a lot of noise. Anyway, so yeah, so an introvert is somebody that basically has grown up believing something to be true. And I don't believe it is true. I believe that you are introverted now, or you say you are, but what would happen if you change that story? What's the new story that you could tell yourself that would allow you, and by the way, you can't do a massive leap. So I'm an introvert. Maybe a new story for you to start saying to yourself is, you know, I'm practicing meeting more people. I'm practicing coming out of my shell. So that, in other words, every single day, and you, by the way, you're going to feel terrified in the beginning. And so how the psycho-cybernetic mechanism works is every time you go to talk to someone, you're going to feel a rush of chemicals through your body. You won't feel it, but you're going to feel a little fear, a little apprehension, a little doubt, a little uncertainty. And the idea is to do it every day. So I would say meet one new person every single day for 90 days and watch by day 12 or 13 how much easier it gets. And remember, to meet someone, it's only a question of saying hello and then asking someone a question. And typically, once you realize that it's as easy as that, because 99% of all people are kind, I think there's only two jerks in the world. They just get around a bit. So that's the question, is that, you know, to change the story about, are you really an introvert? Because that's a story that's going to make you act and be shy. And the other question is, you know, it's going to take you 90, well, they say 21 days to change a habit. But, I mean, I think that if you did it for 90 days, one new person every day, you watch 12, by days 12 or 13, it's going to get easier. By day 40, you're not going to have that big rush. You're going to realize that you're okay. And just ask lots of questions. A great connector is somebody who can meet somebody, ask lots and lots of questions, and that person will feel like they've known them for a long, long time. And most people the mistake most people make is they talk too much when they're meeting people. And they especially talk about themselves. That would be a mistake people make. So the opposite of that is somebody who's interested and fascinated and asking questions. Any comments?
So are you saying there's no such thing as being an introvert?
Well, I think it's a learned thing. People aren't born introverts. So what happens is, you know, when that introvert was two, that little two-year-old didn't sit there in the corner. You don't see two-year-olds typically, unless at two you were.
Yeah?
You were born.
Ask my mom.
Yeah?
As shy as anything.
Yeah. Well, no, I know. But depending, again, on what you're taught right from day one. But if you were grown up, look, they've shown it all every single time. You can take somebody, and I've had this happen with two friends of mine. One was Guatemalan, one was Indian, who were adopted at birth and moved into a different family. And they grew up, and of course, it's like the completely, and this is cultural, it's not about introvert or non, but I think that if you take somebody out of their particular setting and
so
put
like
them,
me.
Yeah, but I'm just saying is that you're probably, she's being cantankerous, that's only because I said she's making too much noise. But what will happen is that you can take kids out of one environment and put them in another. And they're going to grow up differently. I mean, so it is environmental. Most things are environmental, right?
I do agree it's environmental, because it's like anything. The more you do it, the more comfortable it becomes.
Right. And if you have parents that are very, observant of the things that you're doing constantly, and I'm not saying you're the case, because your mum's listening on the show. So anyway, but I do think that I would practice that, challenge anyone out there. I mean, anyone could take this 90-day challenge. I mean, everyone out there, try and meet 90 new people in the next 90 days. Watch what happens. Your social circle is going to grow, and you're going to meet some people that you just feel like, oh my goodness, I feel like I've known you my whole life. And they could end up becoming the best man at your wedding. You just don't know.
Oh. All right, next question.
Yep.
Alan Gilliam says, hi, David.
Hi, Alan
and
Gilliam.
And Jen.
Oh.
He said hi to me, too.
Oh, honey.
He says, you seem to always be on the go with presenting your programs, traveling, and recording the podcast. How do you find the time to get all of these things accomplished and still have time for fun? How do you strike a balance?
Well, we always have fun.
We do.
We have fun doing it. I've had so much fun. That's why I lost my voice. I didn't lose my voice for speaking. I lost my voice because I've had too much fun in the evenings. You know, I mean, fun is something that should be embedded in everything you do. So even if you have a crappy job, if you make it fun, because let's say that you don't have a choice, right? So let's say your job is, I don't know, I can't think of a crappy job, but I mean, some of the jobs I've done that some people would say were crappy. You know, I washed pots in a kitchen for 800 people. It was in a kibbutz in Israel. But I had the most fun, and I had so much fun with all the ladies I work with, and we'd laugh and joke. And in the end, it became really funny because, you know, they let me get away with stuff that no one else would because we had such a great time. So I would say fun isn't something you plan to do outside of every day. Fun is something you do all the time. So, you know, I mean, she's sitting right here, but I mean, we'll bump into someone in the airport or, you know, on the plane or somewhere. And before long, we're having a good time or having a blast.
Where were we flying back from when I was sitting in the middle of these two people and we were laughing so much? People I'd never met before. Laughing so much. We were told to be quiet.
Yeah. I sent some wine out because I was flying up in first class and Jen was with the chickens. So, but she was having, they were making such a raucous amount of time. So I think that, you know, fun should be something that you embed to every part of what you do. And if you want to become wealthy, I think that having a great time and having a great attitude and looking for ways to have fun with normal things, I think is a way to move ahead in life.
And and find balance.
Well, yeah, and balance is what, I mean, balance to me is something where, you know, I'm somebody that, you know, I like, if I've been around a lot of people like last week or so, I like to have a couple of days where I don't really talk to anyone. So, I mean, but, you know, that's kind of, for me, is not that I want to stop doing it. I just want to sometimes just get away and be quiet because, you know, all I've done is talk or, you know, blah, 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 right? Here I am talking again on the show.
Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
I've been talking all day today since 7:30 and it's, I don't know what time it is now, 9?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So now I know what it's like for you, honey.
She's being cheeky again.
Teddy Miller.
Hi, Teddy.
When in the process of overcoming an obstacle with a semi-negative spouse, what do you recommend to not lose focus? Teddy says, I've taken up meditation, which seems to be helping. Any other suggestions?
Shoot up. Well, you know, what does semi-negative mean? Semi-negative means that she's negative, right? Or you think your interpretation of her is negative. If you want to change a woman from being negative to positive, and unless she is just born grumpy, which most women aren't, if you can offer your woman three primary things, safety, protection, and connection, because what happens is it's a vicious cycle and somebody has to go first and you're the one asking the question, which means, and you're the kick-ass life practitioner. So I would suggest that you make her feel safer. And that's, you know, I'm talking about emotionally safe, physically safe, spiritually safe, sexually safe, you know, that you put her, you make her feel like she's the most important person in your universe, you know, safety, protection, and connection. So listen when she speaks. And I know that's hard for a lot of you men out there. It's hard for me sometimes, but to really be interested and know there's times, you know, like when you sit down at a meal, get rid of your phones and ask questions, be interested. Don't try and fix everything because there's a reason why she'd be semi-negative. And I'm not saying you're the reason, but I'm sure that there's two or three things going on. One is that your relationship is not where it should be. In which case that you can work on that and you can start to bring more passion and life and beauty to it. The second is that she's not very happy in what she's done as far as purpose or, you know, things aren't going well for her in her life. Let's say that's the reason. Or she's just plain grumpy. And I don't believe that there's a lot of grumpy people out there. I think that people get in the habit of being negative, but I don't think people want to be negative. So, but you know, you can't fix someone's negativity by pointing it out and asking them to change. How you fix someone's negativity is by bringing a new energy, a fresh energy, a fresh approach where you're not getting triggered by her negativity. And focusing on the best part of her. So communicate with the very, very best part of her, the enlightened part of her, the beauty in her, and stop noticing the negativity because your RAS, your reticular activating system, you know, once you start thinking that she's negative, it's going to notice every time she is and all the time she's not and all the time she's being light and beautiful. You're not going to notice it, but your RAS is going to point out, make you aware that she's being negative. And so you need to change the approach to that. I would suggest doing that first, is take responsibility for it without making it about you. Because I think people that live together, if they're grumpy, you know, there's something that needs to change, and most people don't know what it is. So, you know, you get two people who start to notice the crappy parts of each other, and then before long, the relationships will just deteriorate more and more and more, right?
Well, I've heard through psychology and even some parenting styles that the best thing to do is to point out when they're behaving, you know, as a child. For a child to point out when they are behaving properly, to point out the positive aspects, so then that becomes the focus, and the other person recognizes when they're behaving positively, and then it reinforces that behavior, and they actually end up behaving more of that rather than constantly pointing out the negative or telling your child not to do something or don't do something, pointing out, wow, well done, good job. And then it actually reinforces the positive behavior.
Yeah, and you can't necessarily do that with your wife.
Why
but
not?
You can't, well, you can't. You can, but you can't do it in that way, the same way.
Not
you
the same way with a child, but could you?
But you could do it without it being, because it's so easy for you to be condescending to say,
you could say, oh, honey, I know it was a really challenging day. I'm really proud of you for staying positive today.
Absolutely. I just think you need to be careful not to be condescending, and that you just really, you know, like Jen said, is to sort of point out the. Notice the beauty and point out the beauty. And you know, when a woman's running negative energy or male energy or dark energy, that's typically because she's feeling unhappy. There is no protection or connection, and there's certainly no safety.
Yeah.
And again, remember, safety is such a big thing, right? If your woman feels safe in your arms, safe in your mouth, and I mean that in the sense of what you say about her, and safe in your heart, I mean, and she's gonna light up, and she's gonna stay in the light energy because she feels so beautiful around you. And so I think all men listening, you know, we can do a much better job in making...
You do a good job at that, honey.
Oh, honey.
Even when I'm grumpy, you're so nice.
No, well, yeah, stop being grumpy.
I'm not grumpy.
Well, that's the other thing, too, about that grumpy question, is sometimes, you know, I mean, especially hormonal, it depends, I mean, because, you know, Jen can get a little snippy when she...
I love how you always point out that I'm snippy or grumpy or...
No, I'm just saying, but what I'm saying is that, but knowing then that you know, when you're going through that time of the month, and you know, I think as men we have to be aware that it's not a choice. I mean, sometimes I mean, you're going through something that's, you know, it's a hormone attack on the body, then at least we can do is to
get us some chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. Like I did the other day when she was being grumpy, I ran her a bath and poured her a glass of wine and just put her in the bathtub and then told her to shut up. No, I'm just kidding.
Shall we move on that note?
Yeah.
Pardon me. Gabriel Macharet. Hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. We'll love to know more about how your divorce impacted your life and how you used the challenge to create your kick-ass life.
Well, I mean, divorce is an interesting process, but I mean, I take 100% responsibility. I wish I'd been the kind of person I am today for my ex. She's such a remarkable person, and I just wasn't. I didn't have the capacity I do today, or the ability to do some of the things I talk about. I wasn't even aware of them. I didn't know they existed. But the divorce was the hardest thing probably for me, because I left my kids when they were the same age I was when my dad left. And my mom's divorce was horrendous. It was just so full of hate. So I knew I didn't want that in my life. So, you know, I took a few things that I tell men that are going through or have gone through or are going through any kind of separation, and women, but men primarily I say this to, because I talk from a male perspective, because that's the only one I have, is, you know, first of all, never, ever, ever say a negative word about your partner ever for any reason to anybody. Once you realize you've already made the decision, you're going through divorce, then just focus on the positive things and only vocalize them. I can't tell you how many men I have to stop who's separating from their wife, and I hear them start to run her down or start, and I just say, look, can I give you some advice? Stop it. You know, what's great about her? And especially if there's kids involved. But I think so many people, you know, if you're living together, and you know, it doesn't work out, then everyone's responsibility, I think, is to have a divine divorce or a divine separation, or, you know, be able to create a beautiful separation. And that takes work from one side, typically, because, you know, it's not that my wife wanted that right away, and she certainly wasn't open to it right away, and she was hurting, and for her, it was going to be one marriage, one lifetime. She wasn't, you know, and she still hasn't dated. So I think it was, I just used to have to bite my tongue. There were times I wanted to get into that sort of dark place and yell and scream, and I didn't. And a couple of times, I think three or four times in the last 7 years, we've gone to it, and I've hung the phone up, and I've had to phone back. And I normally phone back within 5 minutes and just say, look, I'm sorry, I didn't. Or I send a text and say, look, you know what, I apologize. And I realize that, so I know it doesn't answer your question, but I do think that it's all of our responsibilities to, if we are separating, and especially if there's kids, to truly, truly, truly be enlightened. And, you know, you can still go through a divorce and still remember why you fell in love. And it doesn't have to go into that dark, filthy energy, which I just think is so sad when I watch it happen. And, you know, so that's one part. How does it impact me? Well, I think that it, because of the divorce and because of who I was being, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with my life. I wasn't happy with the way I treated my kids. I wasn't happy with any part of my relationship with Pam. And so it started me on a road of personal growth. So it was the catalyst that made me go to my first personal development program. And that's what it ultimately changed the course and direction of my life. And so, but now, I mean, when I watch Jen and my ex are best friends, and, you know, we hang out together, and we have the keys to her house and just wander in. I mean, I just pull up at the house and run through the front door. I don't even knock. And I think it's really great to have that kind of relationship. And she's a remarkable person. And what I
love you, Pam.
Yeah. What I realize is that I'm glad that we're not together, because I think that we would have been unhappy and continue to be unhappy. And when I told my kids, you know, I think going through a divorce, I included my kids in the divorce, and I got their opinions and thoughts. And you know, we talked about that we're just really unhappy, and we didn't want to spend our life being unhappy together. But, you know, I just really want to sort of say one more time to anyone going through a divorce out there, somebody has to go first. Somebody has to be lighter. It's like, I tell you what, the other thing that pisses me off sometimes is guys who don't pay, child support, or try and minimize what they're paying. You know, I don't get it. I think that, you know, you just got to never, ever begrudge that money, because, you know, you go through. And that's why, you know, 7 out of 10 women will experience poverty in their lifetimes, because they go through a divorce and they end up with less, typically. And they end up, you know, below the poverty line or on the poverty line. So I just, again, if you're a kick-ass life practitioner and you're going through that, never, ever say, you know, begrudgingly, because you had these kids, right? And you got to help, and you got to understand that it's part of the process. And I've never begrudged one time sending giving my wife any money. She begrudges taking it sometimes. She doesn't feel good when I pay her. But I just think that, again, it's a deep responsibility that every man has. The other thing that I think men or women divorcing, you know, don't leave the city where your kids are. You know, that's something which I just want to just give someone a punch in the ear and say, look, hold on, you got kids, you got divorced, and now you're going to go live where? You know, I mean, I don't care if you have to lose your job. I don't care. I care that you're within striking distance of your kids and that you can be around them. And I think that's a really big...
What if you can live apart but be able to travel to be with them on a regular basis?
Well, I still think that it's a responsibility. I mean, it's not the kids' fault that you can't get on. So the very least you can do is, that's the only agreement we have. We have nothing in writing, but the only agreement Pam and I have is that we'll always be 10 minutes apart. Right now, we're 4 minutes apart. So I actually moved closer to her. But I just think that that's important. I think that, you know, you got kids, they're yours, and you live in a different city, and you might see them once in a while. And I get the whole work thing, but guess what? For me personally, it's just like, hey, change your work. Or find a way that you, and I know it's not the perfect world, blah, blah. I get all that. But I'm feeling a little ornery today.
Yeah. You sound like a bit like a duck.
A what?
Next question. A duck? Kai!
Hey, Kai.
Marimoto! Oh, Kai was just giving us an update. I don't know if you wanted us to share it on the show or not. I think we're done.
Oh, I know. Kai's the guy who was leaving his job, right?
Yes, he is now officially unemployed.
And he's happy. Well, yeah. Kai, you know, unemployment. One thing, let me talk about unemployment if you're unemployed. Treat unemployment like a job. Spend 8 hours every day looking for it. And I promise you within 3 or 4 or 5 days, you'll have one. Go and knock on doors, meet people, network. Decide where you want to work and go meet those people. But don't send out resumes once every, you know, once a week or anything like that. Just go out there and decide. Decide you'll find it. But if you spend 8 hours a day looking or designing or making something happen, I promise it will make it happen. So
he's also very excited for this new adventure, which I think is a great focus, because whenever one thing ends and something new starts, and it could be better than what you had before.
That's right. Anyway, guys, whoa, I hope I haven't been a bit of a grumpy bear. I sounded with
grumpy.
My big dog voice. So
you're grumpy today.
Oh, stop it.
Should I draw you a bath and bring you a glass of wine?
Yeah, go and uncork the wine.
Okay, I can do that.
All right, well, here alrighty, we are in Dallas. And by the way, how's your E-Woman Network event?
It's been incredible. I've met some amazing people and had some great conversations. And, yeah, this is a really amazing community of women, actually, and some men.
Yeah, there's a few men. I had the men stand up and be recognized today. Yeah. There's about 12 of them there.
And I felt very proud watching you speak today, honey. I even had a few tears.
Aw.
You were amazing.
Aw. Okay, lovely people out there.
We'll see you on the other side.
Ciao.
That was kick-ass.